There was some phenomenal one-liners in there.
Oh, man, it was good. It was good. Gosh.
King Saul's a reverse Grinch. We know where Lodabar is because the bar was set so low. The bar was set low.
Oh, man. King Saul was a reverse Grinch. That was the best. He was a reverse Grinch.
Prove me wrong.
The Thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The Thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Oh, you got to be kidding me. So we had a card. You know, I did this last time, right? To show you and prove to you it is recording. Do you see the recording?
Oh, yeah.
It is recording. We did that last time and the card got full. This is now the third time.
Is this God's way of telling us what was just said was meant for just us?
Maybe. Maybe. I'll see how far that went, though. Maybe it went far. I don't know.
That was hilarious. So you're like, yeah, you know, last time it just wasn't recording. Son of a gun. That was great.
So apparently I needed to format the SD card, and I apologize to all of our faithful Thunder buddies.
There was some phenomenal one-liners in there.
Oh, man, it was good. It was good. Gosh.
King Saul's a reverse Grinch. We know where Lodabar is because the bar was set so low. The bar was set low.
Oh, man. King Saul was a reverse Grinch. That was the best. He was a reverse Grinch.
Prove me wrong.
So we're going to do this. We're going to do this quickly. This is going to be a much shorter episode today because we've already recorded half an hour and realized that it did not capture. We've been having some technical difficulties. Listen, here's what would solve this problem. Money
would solve this problem.
If you want to donate to our podcast,
I'll accept cash.
There is a link on our Linktree page that you can make a donation.
Is there really?
There really is. There really is.
Can I make a donation? I don't have money.
We will link it. Well, the way I know it works is I had to donate to it, and I can't get the money until I get like a certain amount to pull out. So I'm out another $35.
Would be wonderful because
it'd be wonderful.
There are so many things that we have cooking in our brains.
Yes,
and if people want to see the brain dump, that's literally. I'm not trying to like push for that. That's literally the only thing we can do because we have so much stuff going on.
We were talking about what are we going to record today, and we thought, well, let's record what we were trying to record last week, but it didn't record right, and so we were like, you know what? There was too much good stuff. Yeah, last week was great. Barzillai, he's a great character in the Bible. You don't even get to know. Unless we get some more sponsors or some donations
to the pod.
Correct.
We are able to do this more.
Yes, yes. I was talking with somebody the other day. They said, man, I can't believe you're running a podcast. And I was like, well, I run mine and then I run the my girls podcast.
The good one.
The one that actually has a lot of subscribers. Yeah. And
the one people like.
Yeah. Then I said, I looked up online. It's like, it's expensive to run a podcast. I was like, it is. And he's like, how are you running like multiples? I was like, well, because the cost gets a little bit cheaper as you run more, right? It's like an insurance policy. The more cars you have, it's not that much more. But
problematic.
It'd be great if somebody could donate a big, big donation to the pod.
$1 billion.
We will be able to do four more episodes with that.
Yes, probably four.
Listen, we're looking to
somebody wants to punch out two a week. We could do it.
I'm not looking to. Huh? Oh yeah,
we could punch out two a week
easily. Now listen, we're talking about that's a different amount of money.
It is. That's about. I swear, I straight go for.
Oh, goodness. So here's a welcome back to the Sons of Thunder.
I'd have to start doing a lot more stuff.
Again, we've been sitting here. We've recorded already in this room for half an hour, and we've actually been here for like 45 minutes.
And, dude, it was good.
It was great. So here's what we're going to do. Let's rush. Do you want to rush through that, or do you want to rush through what we said, or do you want to just jump into the new spot?
Let's jump into the new spot. I say we jump straight into the new spot. Let's real quick. Let's do three minute drill of the life, beginning life of Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth, born into a royal family, King Saul had a son named Jonathan.
Saul, reverse Grinch, was good, turned bad.
Yep.
Had Jonathan.
Jonathan had a best friend. His best friend slayed Goliath. David. David is the guy. David, as a young shepherd boy, goes and he kills Goliath. After he kills Goliath, David gets hired by King Saul to come into the palace and worship and be that guy.
I want killers to be worship leaders.
I do too. That's my favorite kind of worship leader. By the way, we're looking for worship leaders right now. So then...
We don't want murderers. Go ahead.
Then David and Jonathan become best friends. So much so, Jonathan says, David, whatever you need in life, I here's my blank check. Anything you need, I've got. Now, Saul becomes jealous. His heart shrinks three sizes. And yes, when it does, he hates David because David is actually the anointed next successor. David should be the king. Yeah. So Saul knows this. Jonathan knows this. Jonathan's happy about it. Jonathan says, whatever David needs, I'm here for. So Jonathan has a son. Jonathan's son name is Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth.
He's very young. He's Mephibosheth, just a small boy.
Little baby boy.
And Saul does some stupid things, ends up getting him and Jonathan killed.
That's what happens when you're a reverse Grinch.
That's exactly what happens.
Idiot.
Don't be a reverse Grinch, guys. So then Mephibosheth, small boy, at home with his nurse, his nanny, his caregiver, and she hears Jonathan is dead. She's afraid because David is going to now be king. In the Old Testament times, a new king would take over, and he would kill all of the family members of the former king,
right?
Because he didn't want a rebellion, right? So the nurse, or the person taking care of Mephibosheth, hears the nurse doesn't know David. No. The nurse doesn't know David's not an evil, harsh king. He's a kind king. He's God's anointed king. She picks Mephibosheth up, takes off running, drops him, and he is now crippled in both of his legs.
Bet she looked like Marshawn Lynch running through the.
She's going through hardcore. She's moving as fast as she can move. She drops him. He's lame in both feet. Now, cripple in both feet, as the scripture says in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. Then we read 2 Samuel 9, the story of Mephibosheth. David is the king.
Yeah.
He says, is there anyone left of Saul's household or Jonathan's household that I can show favor for Jonathan's sake?
Yep.
Somebody says, oh, there's a guy named Mephibosheth. He lives in Lodabar. Why? What about Lodabar do we need to know?
Because Debar is set so low, that's where people go when they're like, just down and out, man.
Yep. This is the desolate place. It's a place where the outcasts go. It's a place that's hard, difficult. So that's where Mephibosheth is living. He's old enough now to be living with a family, which we actually talked about in last episode because it's Barzillai's family.
Nobody knows this.
I know. We don't have time to get into it. Again, donate if you want to hear more. So you've got Mephibosheth living there. David sends.
It's terrible.
Here's what it is. Either donate if you want to know now, and we will be able to make it. Or you'll find out later because we just don't have the time at the moment. And money creates time. So mainly for you. You have a real job. And sort of for me because I have expenses with all of my
stuff. He has all the expenses. I have an actual job.
Yeah. So anyway, David sends his crew to go and invite Mephibosheth into his home, into the palace. What is David's purpose? David's purpose is to invite Mephibosheth into the palace to have fellowship and eat with him.
Yep.
Mephibosheth, living in Lodabar, crew comes up. Hey, you're invited to come to the king's palace. He says, I can't. Are you kidding me? There's no way. He says, I want you to come to the palace. We did talk about how the nurse didn't know David. Right. So she responded in fear by running him out.
Right.
Right. If she'd have known David, she would not have responded in fear. She would have responded in faith because David's a good anointed king. Jonathan, when he was growing up with Mephibosheth young in the house, probably spoke highly of David. Right. Well, that got cut off whenever Jonathan died. And then he was brought up thinking there's a danger. If David ever finds you, he's going to kill you. Right? Right. So Mephibosheth doesn't know David the way he should know David. Now, David invites him in. This is the part of the story where we know that when Dad preached this was incredible. Mephibosheth goes to the palace, and Dad used to do this sermon where he would preach a sermon once where he talked about when Mephibosheth goes in to eat with the king, right? The king's table is there, all the king's family, the royal line, his son, Absalom.
Beautiful hair,
reverse Grinch as well. Yeah.
Took after his
commander of the armies, the prime minister, all the people that are like the royal people. And then you got Mephibosheth walking down the hall.
Do they have those like English wigs?
Probably not at the dinner. That's probably just so they're in the judicial system.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're in the Supreme Court. So they are, so Mephibosheth shows up to eat with the king, and Dad used to do this thing, and it rings in my mind still, of like what it sounds like with whenever crutches, and he's crippled in both feet, so he's like kind of dragging his feet, right? So it's like you hear this crutch, crutch, drag, yeah. And which made me think and us think, like, whenever the king has invited us to his table, we accept the invitation, we're then given a place in his home, and then we get to fellowship with him at his table, and we're the crippled people walking in.
Yeah,
we don't have it all together. You had made the statement whenever the recording quit that that people have this thought that they are
they're deserving
but of people, the king's seat.
I think it's like that weak mentality of Christianity where we feel we deserve it. I'm like, right. We don't. Like, read who Jesus is in Revelation. The Jesus who's coming back.
Yeah.
Read about him, because you'll quickly understand, I don't belong.
I shouldn't be here.
I should not be here. And he still says.
Yeah. Which David, we did make a mention. David showed up. So Saul was the king, the first Israelite king. Israelites wanted a king. God said, you don't need a king, you got me. They said, we want a king like the other people. And they're like, okay, here you go, Saul.
Because they have it all together.
They've got, yeah, yeah. All the people that you keep beating up, what is the deal? So
smart.
We talked about how, so Mephibosheth is born into that line, right? Yep. Just like we are born into sin, Satan is the prince of the earth. Ooh. We're born into that sin. We inherit that kingdom, and yet David shows up, intercedes and steps in as our substitute, takes the place to redeem us out of it. A lot of pictures of the gospel in that. So now Mephibosheth is eating at the king's table. Well, then the Absalom rebellion takes place.
The beautiful haired man
sitting beside the king on the other side has rebelled against the king.
It's when his heart grew.
It's when his heart shrunk three sizes. Yes. Yeah. So Absalom rebels. David, the king, is gone for a while. Just like Jesus was rejected, died, rose again, and then he is now gone for a little while. He's coming back, and David would eventually come back. The Old Testament concealed, New Testament revealed. The things in the Old Testament are revealed in the New Testament in a beautiful way. Here's the best part. Mephibosheth is still alive.
That
he's still got a story.
Man, this is, I feel like this is where Christians need to be at. We don't need to have this arrogant mentality of, whatever it is, all the different things that the world does.
Yeah.
Stop mimicking the world.
Right.
Mimic Mephibosheth. Understand where you're at. Understand that you're broken. Understand that you like in the kingdom of eternity, like, man, what do I have to offer?
That's the thing. Mephibosheth could not do anything for David.
He couldn't.
Nothing.
He wanted to fight. How could he fight?
Right. Couldn't go fight for him. Couldn't go he's been in a poverty stricken situation. He's uneducated. So it's the kindness of David, 100%, that Mephibosheth is where he is.
Yeah,
Interesting. It's the kindness of Jesus that we are anywhere, right?
Right.
So what happens when David is away? Oh, this is so good. Because here's what I think.
He drops the mic.
We see a few things. So we see a few guys, right? We see Zadok. We see Hushai. We see
these guys we could talk about.
They have Itai, right? They have all these guys that say they can do stuff for the king. One of them can go and perform things in the temple, in the synagogue, in the temple for him. One of the guys can go and befriend and speak into the enemy. One of them can go and do all these different things. Yeah, all these different pieces.
But what can Mephibosheth do?
What can Mephibosheth do?
Nothing.
I love it. Here's what Mephibosheth can do.
People say, you read his story, you look at him, you see us in the real world, you're like, they can do nothing.
They can do nothing.
And he altered,
he did something.
He mic dropped it.
Remarkable.
He really did.
Remarkable. So we find the story in 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 18. And what we find is, Here's what Mephibosheth does. The story just tells about his appearance. It just says Mephibosheth, his feet were unkept. He was a messy in his appearance. His beard was unkept. His clothes were unkept. And it did not dawn on me until I had read this story and we taught. So I've heard the first part of his story taught, right? It's the salvation moment. We get to the king's table and we didn't deserve it. That's amazing.
Even read the second part, but
yes,
you don't think about it.
You don't think about
God it. God puts everything in scripture for a reason.
And this may be one of the best places for us today in the culture that we are in. Here's what Mephibosheth did. He's sitting there and he's thinking, what's my king experiencing? David's not here. I can't see him. I'm not physically with him. So what's it like where he's at? And he thinks, I bet his feet are hurting. So I'm not going to take care of my feet because I want to join in the same suffering he's joined in. I want my feet to look like his. Why am I not keeping my beard? He probably can't be shaving where he's at.
David's on the run.
David's on the run. Because
Absalom, his son, is trying to kill him.
Yes. And David doesn't retaliate in anger or whatever. He retaliates in love, and he's trying his best to make it work. So in all this, Mephibosheth is like, I want to look like David. Because the people of the town, the people of Jerusalem, keep saying, they walk up to him, and they say, you need to clean your feet up. You need to wash your feet. You need to shave your beard. You look unkept. You look, and here's what Mephibosheth's line is. This is it. You ready for this? I look this way because this is how my king looks, and it seems like you've forgotten him. So I'm here to remind you of what he is.
As Absalom walks by with all of his splendor,
yeah,
walks in, and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I look like my king. They're like, no, you don't. Like,
no, you don't.
You know, who are you pointing at?
That's the wrong king.
That ain't my king.
That's not my king.
Come
my
on.
King, my king is somewhere else.
Oh,
at the moment.
My goodness.
And my king's coming back. And when he comes back, I want to look just like him.
At any moment, they could have immediately killed Mephibosheth.
Yep.
But you know what Mephibosheth would have done? Taken it.
Yeah. He would have. And he would have died greatly.
And I mean, there was some stuff that happened right before this that was terrible for Mephibosheth. He didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah, that's the other part. False accusations. He was lied about. Ziba went and like talked to David, and David was like, what's Mephibosheth doing? He's like, he's joined Absalom. No, he didn't. You can be lied about. People can lie about you. People can say things about you. This past week, there's been some things going on in the world, right?
Right.
And if you're online, there's...
Oh, my gosh.
It's awful, man. It's like some people are praising, some people are demeaning, some people are this, some people are this. It does not matter what the world says about you if you look like the king.
Ooh.
And the day he returns, you look like him. Because the day David returned, Mephibosheth, he said, Mephibosheth, I did not, you know, people lied about you to me,
mm-hmm.
but because you are who you are, I want to give you all of this stuff. And what does Mephibosheth do? He says, I don't want your stuff. I want you. That's what he says. The last place we see Mephibosheth. Golly, this is,
dude, about to throw up.
This is making me, this is good. This is good. Here's what he says, man. He says, the last place we see Mephibosheth in the Bible is at the feet of the king. Can I tell you right now, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can look like the king. Do your best to look like him.
Man.
That's so good.
And you know what? The world's gonna walk by you and they're gonna say, what are you doing? Why do you look like this? Why do you act like this? Why are you the way that you are? More or less.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I bet Mephibosheth I can almost see almost a smile. I mean, he was so heartbroken because his king wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I can almost see this joy, like, my king's coming.
Yeah. He's coming back. I wrote down, I didn't even look at my notes. This is let's see. Here it is. Yeah.
Is this still recording? So, because if it's not,
it is. It's still recording. Yeah.
I'm done with the podcast.
It's still recording. We actually got this one. It's only 15 minutes. So, the people say this. So, yeah. People say, Mephibosheth, you look unshaved, your feet need washed, get yourself together. And Mephibosheth replies this way, I'm trying to look like David. You seem to have forgotten him. I am doing my best to remind you of him. Like
here's the problem with the world, that we need more Mephibosheths.
We are in the age of rebellion right now.
We are.
Our king is not here presently. He's here spiritually. He's here in he's ruling it all.
And we Jesus just don't is see so much greater than David so ever much could have greater. Been. Never so much said, greater. Never messed up.
Yeah.
But the picture, like you said, the Old Testament is concealed. New Testament is revealed. It's showing a picture. So the reason, and again, he didn't have to talk about Mephibosheth again. He didn't have to.
No.
God did not have to bring Mephibosheth's name up at all.
Right.
Because according yeah. to God, he wasn't in line.
Right. Yeah. Here's the craziness too. Some of these people, you know, Ittai went with David whenever the rebellion of Absalom happened. Mephibosheth couldn't go with him.
Right.
Right. He had to live in the world among the haters. So what did he do? He said, I'll just look like him.
And here's the other thing too. Absalom knew who his grandfather
yes.
was.
Yes.
So he says, and according to Absalom, Absalom at any moment could have said, you deserve death.
Right.
But
right.
And Mephibosheth, I don't care.
Yeah. I want to make sure and remind you of your
yeah.
father. You I want to make sure and look like the king, the true king.
The real king.
That's exactly
not
right.
Not you little fake.
Yeah. Not you that think you've got the authority.
Which is so funny because you read the first part of Mephibosheth. He seems so meek and mild and mm-hmm. like just this easy temperament. Like, I'm so undeserving. And then this passion and boldness at the end part of his story, not the end part of his life. We don't know what that is like, but the end part of his yeah. story, it's fire. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, no kidding. It is one of the best places. Yeah. As I was writing about it, you know, 2 Samuel 19 is where the story is. 2 Samuel 16, Ziba is the one that lies to David and makes up stuff. He says, Mephibosheth basically says, I'm getting the kingdom back. David, Mephibosheth's not doing that, right?
Yeah.
Mephibosheth thought, I was like, oh, finally, I'll get my kingdom back. That's not how it happens.
That rumor was probably going around and get back to Absalom.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And so then it says, when in 19, chapter 19, verses 24 through 30, basically, Mephibosheth is saying this, I'll do my best to enter whatever my king is entering into. His feet must be sore, so I'll be sore in my feet. He must not have had a chance to shave, so I won't either. He can't wash his clothes, neither will I. I'll do my best to show whose side I'm on. Living in the world during a rebellion, he says, I'm going to do my best to live and look like my true king.
Look like Jesus, the world will take notice. They're not going to like it.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, the world's going to take notice.
Can you imagine the people saying, you know, why aren't you taking care of yourself? Why do you look this way? And he says, I'm trying to make you aware of whose side I'm on and what my king looks like.
So how many Christians today are showing the world, trying to point the world back to like, this is who the true king is. Yeah. Instead, we just fall in line and we listen to Absalom.
Yep.
When the true king's coming.
Yep.
Let's go, man.
And when he gets here and he says, I want to reward you with all this stuff, Mephibosheth says, oh, don't crown me. I want to cast it right back down. I didn't want all the stuff. I just wanted you.
I can't wait.
That's good.
To see to see Mephibosheth one day.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
I mean, we talk about it all the time. You know, obviously, we're not going to think anything but Jesus. Like,
right.
Especially yeah. you read through Revelation.
Yeah. He takes the scene.
Yeah. Jesus kind of takes control of the whole scene.
He's got a take notice walk.
Yeah, you know? He really does. But to be able to talk to somebody like Mephibosheth, like,
yeah,
dude was just awesome.
You got to know that, like, dad in heaven is probably, you know, he's as he sees Jesus, he's worshiping Jesus, like, sitting next to Mephibosheth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, I talked about you.
I did. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That's good stuff.
And then the Brooklyn Angels up there. Your son's talking about him right now. Hey, Phoebe. Hey, Phoebe, check it out. They're talking about you right now.
You did some good stuff. You did some good stuff.
Proud of you, Phoebe. Proud of you.
Oh, man. We are all crippled Mephibosheths that have nothing to give the king, but we can try our best to look like him.
Take pride in it.
Take pride in it. You've made it. This is the end. A short episode today because our recording stuff has been failing, but we hope you found some encouragement, some joy in the middle of this chaos. So you made it to the end. Congratulations.
Bye.